This is the Happy Station, broadcasting to North and South America on 9,955 kilohertz from 1 to 155 UTC and from 15 to 1555 UTC.
This is station PCJ of Philips Radio, broadcasting on 31 meters, our weekly Friday program, which only lasts for 60 minutes.
Estación de la Alegría, The Happy Station Show. Hello everyone, hello everywhere. Welcome to another edition of The Happy Station Show, your international light entertainment show. I shouldn't say light because we are certainly not light. I hope that we're a bit more of a heavyweight. But, you know, could be maybe to some people. Maybe some people were light. Maybe some people were just gobbledygook. I don't know. Anyway, Keith Powell with you for the next 55 minutes. And it's really nice to have you with me. For those listening, well, on many different means, shortwave, internet, podcast, you name it, we are there. So hello to wherever you may be. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whatever time of the day it is in your part of the world. It's really nice to have you with me for the next 55 minutes because we have actually quite a few things to get to today. We have our mail call coming up just at the bottom of the hour. Tom Meyer is going to be here to sing us a song. Well, he's not in this studio to sing us a song. This is from one of the songs that he recorded a few years ago. And I'm also going to be joined later on by Jerry Berg. Now, let me tell you why we're running that. On June 4th this year, I did a special program called Happy Station's Tribute to DXers. Now, there was such an overwhelming response to that program that I thought, you know what, why don't we do it again? So I'm going to do Happy Station's Tribute to DXers Part 2. Which I will announce at a later date, and we're going to have many, many different things, including Jerry Berg. Now, Jerry Berg has written 3 books about international shortwave broadcasting, and the conversation that we had not too long ago was quite long. But I will bring you a small 10-minute teaser of that conversation, which is absolutely fascinating. And the books themselves are absolutely wonderful. Now, I'm not the kind of person that will normally sit down and read a book from cover to cover. I sort of read it a bit and then kind of lose interest. And I was surprised that I actually finished the three books in 2 weeks. That's how interesting they were. And there was a lot of stuff in the books that when I was reading it, I went, oh, I forgot about that. And oh, I didn't know that. So stay tuned for that coming up just a little in a little while longer. We've been getting a number of people writing emails and sending in letters asking about Eddie Starts. And would it be possible to hear Eddie Starts every now and again? Well, unfortunately, as you know, Eddie Starts passed away in 1976, so he's no longer with us. But the other day, as I was walking down the street, I passed this alleyway and somebody went, come over here. That was very odd, you know. And he said, you know, I've been told that you host a radio show, which surprised me because I don't, how would he know that, you know, unless he's a mind reader. And I said, yeah. And he said, well, you know what? I've also heard that some people want to hear Eddie Starts. And I said, yeah, that's very true. And he said, well, I have a special radio, which you can buy for me for just like $5, five Taiwan dollars, by the way, which is like 2 cents American or something like that. And I said, well, okay, why not? It's only $5. So gave him the $5, took the radio back home, and I was very surprised. I think this is, I don't even know the brand of the radio. There's no make on it or anything. It's just two dials, one for on and off and volume, and the other one with a special kind of tuner. I've never seen it before. It doesn't have 49-meter band. It doesn't even cover the standard high frequencies. I mean, this goes ultra, super high frequencies, like 60,000 and 1 million kilohertz. Very unusual. So I brought it with me in the studio today, and I thought that we would give it a try. So let me turn it on. Okay, there's the thing. All right. Let's see, what does that do? Nothing. I'm not hearing anything yet. Oh, wait a second. I hear something rather fascinating. Oh, you know what? This is amazing because I think with this special radio, we can listen to Eddie Starts hosting the Happy Station. So, oh, this is wonderful. So why don't we let Eddie introduce today's first piece of music?
Hello, hello, everybody everywhere. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, listeners on the shortwaves. This is Holland calling, Radio Nederland, the international program of the Happy Station. The Happy Station is a program of music and chit-chat and information every Sunday around the world in four programs. And that is to say, one for the Far East, one for Africa, one for North American listeners, and one in Spanish and Portuguese for South America, Spain and Portugal. As a matter of fact, this very program you are now tuned to. Eddie Starts speaking, S-T-A-R-T-Z, always producing and presenting these shows for you and inviting you to listen into the musical part of our today's transmission for South America, Spain and Portugal. The Happy Station is in Spanish La Estación de la Alegría. It is the third program in a series of four transmissions. Please, when reporting, refer to program number 3. Thank you very much, and now kindly stand by for the remainder of our today's announcement, which, as a matter of fact, is not really a remainder, but an opener, an ear opener in Spanish. Hola, muy buenas noches, radio oyentes y amigos de habla castellana, señoras, señoritas y señores. En todos los países de habla castellana y portuguesa, les saludamos desde Holanda, como cada domingo a esta misma hora. Radio oyentes en el viejo continente europeo, hola, muy buenas noches en España y Portugal, en Islas Azores, en Madeira, así como nuestros amigos en Islas Canarias y más al sur, en Cabo Verde. La Estación de la Alegría continúa la transmisión ahora diciéndoles que vamos a entretenerles con música alegre y música variada, así como alguna información sobre nuestro país. Y como sabemos nosotros que las cosas holandesas les interesen mucho, vamos a hablar hoy en una media hora, poco más o menos en 30 minutos, sobre el asunto los deportes y pasatiempos en Holanda. Entre tanto, vamos a hacer un poco de música internacional y aquí de Bavaria, la primera parte de la música de la Estación de la Alegría en Holanda.
And that was Eddie Starts, of course, introducing our first piece of music for today. And by the way, there is no special radio. If you want to hear more of the Eddie Starts programs, Radio Netherlands does have a website set up made up of archive programs. And there's a number of happy stations there, including some of the ones that Tom did, as well as Eddie's programs. And the URL for that is http://... that's two forward slashes, blogs.rnw.nl/haa/. And just do a search for Eddie Starts. Now, the site is in Dutch, but when you open up the page, you will see Z-O-E-K, which means search in Dutch. So just enter Eddie Starts, and a whole list of programs will come up. And also, you can just write Happy Station, and also other programs will come up as well. It's quite fascinating. You are listening to the International Happy Station Show. Now, let's take a listen to Something's Got a Hold on My Heart, Mark Almond and Gene Pitney. We'll be right back. Something's Got a Hold on My Heart, Gene Pitney and Mark Amon here on The Happy Station. Last month on the show, we ran a program called Happy Station's Tribute to DXers, which was a very successful show. And because there's so many other things that I couldn't include in that program, we're going to do a second one very, very soon. So stay tuned to the show, and I will announce the date for that. Now, we're going to bring you a little bit of a teaser, shall we say, of that upcoming program with a long conversation that I had with Jerry Berg in the USA. We spoke for almost 45 minutes, but we'll bring a little excerpt right now. For those who don't know the name because he is very well known within shortwave circles. He has authored three books. The first one entitled On the Shortwaves, 1923 to 1945. The second one, Listening to the Shortwaves, 1945 to today, and Broadcasting on the Shortwaves, 1945 to today. So now let's take a listen to an excerpt of that long conversation that I had with Jerry Berg. Jerry, the three books that you wrote about shortwave radio are absolutely fascinating. Before we get to the content of the books, where did you come up with the idea to do this? Was this something you just woke up one day and said, you know, I'm going to write a book about international radio?
No, it didn't really happen that way. This kind of goes back to 1986 when a couple of things happened. In 86, a group of DXers here in the United States got together and decided that we wanted to set up a group to preserve QSL cards for historical reasons, and I was put in charge of that. And pretty soon we started receiving QSLs from old-timers in the hobby, and it was apparent that these were QSLs from stations that many of us had really never heard of before. So I became interested in the history of shortwave that way. And about the same time, a local group formed here in New England called the New England Antique Radio Club. It was mainly for people who were interested in antique radio equipment. But I attended one of their swap and sell meets up in New Hampshire, and I bought myself a box of old radio magazines. And in those magazines were copies of Radio News, which had a great shortwave column. And I was reading about stations that I had never heard of, had never heard mentioned by others in the DXing hobby. And that's how it all started. I started collecting magazines and various shortwave memorabilia, and over a period of years I collected quite a bit of that stuff, and it just became apparent to me some years later that nobody had ever told this story before, and I had enough material along with some academic stuff that had been published on the subject to put the first book together back in 1999. So that's how it all started.
Were you a shortwave listener before that?
Yes, I've been a shortwave listener since 1958.
Right.
But as I said, this historical stuff just wasn't in evidence. I mean, nobody really knew much about shortwave history before the time that they entered the hobby, and I was no different.
So when you started working on the first book, because you had all this material, was it difficult to decide what to put in the book? Because the first book covers the 1920s to the 1940s, which at that period there was a lot happening in radio just before and at the early part of the Second World War.
It wasn't difficult because I was writing, it was difficult to sort of physically handle the material, but deciding what to include wasn't all that difficult because I was writing the book primarily for people in the radio listening community. This wasn't intended to be an academic work. And I knew what they liked because I knew what I liked, and they liked the same things. DXers enjoy reading about QSL cards and receivers and stations and all of that. So I pretty much knew what the content ought to be, and I was able to put the books together with that in mind.
So when you were putting the books together, did you have in mind also to write two other books after that, or was the first one just a one-time thing?
It was a one-time thing. I had no plans to write the later books because I thought that there would be other people who were more experienced than I with regard to the years after 1945, and I thought would be able to do a better job, frankly. So I never really thought about the post-1945 period at all when I was writing the first book. But a number of people said to me they enjoyed the first book, and they said, you know, you ought to really continue this story. And I did have a tremendous amount of material for the years after 1945, and frankly, nobody else wrote it up, and it seemed to be out there kind of waiting to happen, so I just decided to do it. And of course, I was also aided by the fact that I retired in 2003, so I was able to spend a lot of time at this that I wouldn't have been able to do otherwise.
When you were writing the first book, did you have access to people that were around at the time radio was king and shortwave radio was taking off?
Some, but not many, because most of those folks were gone. I mean, they were themselves part of history by the time I was writing this. I did have the advantage of having a good deal of material from some of those folks. I was able to contact some of them. Some of the material came through our Committee to Preserve Radio Verifications, and so I had a lot of written material from that time. But there weren't too many people around to kind of ask firsthand impressions of. And I've also discovered that lots of those firsthand impressions aren't necessarily accurate. We don't always remember things accurately. And my experience has been that you pretty much have to rely on the written word to get your facts straight. And even there, you can't always be 100% sure.
When you started writing the second book, which picks up after the period after the Second World War, at the beginning of the Cold War, I mean, the Cold War period was a very interesting time for international radio, was it not?
Yeah, it was a tremendously interesting time. And frankly, I'm of the view that it was the Cold War years that kept shortwave going for a long, long time. Many of the large international stations increased their power largely out of the radio competition of the Cold War. A lot of smaller countries wanted to be kind of represented at the table. They wanted their voices heard. So lots of shortwave countries and lots of shortwave stations came on the air. And I think if you really sort of dig deep enough, you find that it was the Cold War that was really what started that expansion of shortwave, and things just sort of continued on by themselves until 1988, 1990, when things changed in the Soviet Union.
Well, what is actually quite fascinating is just around the time when the Second World War ended, broadcasters like the Voice of America, BBC, oh, at the time I think it was still called the Empire Service,
yeah,
and the CBC International Service, after the war they started to drop languages because they thought, oh, it's not important anymore. And a lot of people have mentioned to me that if the Cold War had not happened, international broadcasting would probably just disappeared, like with many other things from that period.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I really do. The Cold War kept things heated up, and of course, this was a relatively easy way to for each side to reach into the other, and that dynamic brought a lot of smaller countries along with it. Of course, it also brought mm-hmm. some things that weren't so great, like jamming, which was a real scourge during the Cold War. We still have jamming today. The Chinese broadcast kind of place their Chinese musical signals in a lot of places where they don't belong, but it's nothing like the jamming was back in the 50s and the 60s.
When I first started listening to shortwave on a regular basis, for myself, my own personal story behind it was that an uncle of mine had a shortwave radio, and he was buying a new one, and he gave me his old set, and I was tuning around going, oh, this is interesting. What language are they speaking? And, oh, this is interesting to listen to a show from Sweden and stuff like that. So that's how I started listening. I was never really a DXer. I was never really the type that would try to tune stations that were not even targeted to, say, Canada, or didn't even have enough power to reach Canada most of the time. I was just tuning in because I thought it was interesting. But one thing I remember very much was, especially in the late 70s and early 80s, when I was doing a lot more listening than I am now, is the amount of stations on the air. It was just incredible. And especially like Radio Moscow, for example. I mean, Radio Moscow had a frequency every 10 to 15 kilohertz, it seemed like.
No question. I mean, Radio Moscow was everywhere. as was the BBC, maybe not quite to the extent of Radio Moscow. But yeah, the bands were full. I mean, the high bands were full of international stations, and for those who DX the smaller stations, the lower frequencies, the tropical bands were just jammed full of stations. Every 5 kilohertz, there was a station. There were dozens and dozens of stations in places like Colombia and Venezuela, whereas today there might be one or two. So there's no question that the high point of shortwave is long past us now.
And I was speaking there with Jerry Berg, the author of 3 books on the shortwaves, 1923 to 1945, listening to the shortwaves, 1945 to today, and broadcasting on the shortwaves, 1945 to today. And for our second program in the series, Happy Station's Tribute to DXers, will bring you that full conversation. And for that show, one lucky person will be a winner of a copy of each of the books. So stay tuned for an announcement for that program. Let's now have some more music. Here's Nancy Wilson singing What a Little Moonlight Can Do. When we come back, our mailbag.
Ooh, what a little moonlight can do. Ooh, what a little moonlight can do to you. You're in love, your heart's a flutter, and all day long you only stutter, 'cause your poor tongue just will not utter the words I love you. Ooh, 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 what a little moonlight can do. Wait a while till the moonbeam comes peeping through. You'll get bold, you can't resist him, and all you say when you have kissed him is ooh, 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 what a little moonlight can do. Ooh, what a little moonlight can do to you. You're in love, your heart's a flutter, and all day long you only stutter, 'cause your poor tongue just will not utter the word I love you. Wait a while till a moonbeam comes peeping through. You'll get bold, you can't resist him, and all you'll say when you have kissed him is ooh, what a little moonlight can do. Peeping through. Now you get bold, you can't resist him, and all you say after you've kissed him is ooh, what a little moonlight can do.
The incredible Nancy Wilson and What a Little Moonlight Can Do here on The Happy Station. During the transmission today at 100 UTC, I told you that I gave our mailbag horse a rest because it is very, very hot. And he didn't want to come out. He was just very, very temperamental and he was in a bit of a bad mood. But he said he will make an appearance for the show at 1500 UTC. And I can hear him now off in the distance. All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Horse. We still have come up with the name, don't we? If there's anybody out there that knows a name, let me know, and we'll give him that name. Okay, now time for mail call. We can't, of course, get to every single letter that we get in, but I have a few here. The first one is from Josh Mullins in upstate New York. He listens to us between 15 and 1555 UTC, and he was asking if we are planning to do another DX program like we did a while ago, and yes, Josh, if you may have heard me already mention, we are going to do another Happy Station tribute to DXers. Stay tuned for that. For the announcement of that date, that is. So thank you very much. And Johan, that's Johan Backer, our production assistant, assures me that your QSL card was sent on, here it says Tuesday. Yes, Tuesday. Next, actually, we have a letter here from St. Petersburg, Florida, from Stanley Cooper. And he's been listening to Shortwave for about 5 years now. And he said, it's so interesting to come across a show like The Happy Station because it is so different from anything else out there. Well, I hope it is. He says, do you plan to do a show about the history of Happy Station? Yes, that is also in the works. The only thing I can say is stay tuned because, well, we'll announce that very soon as well. Let's now go up north to Ottawa, Canada, to Charlie Manitad in Ottawa, Canada. Actually, not Ottawa, West Carleton, but near Ottawa. He says, I know you're from Canada. Have you ever lived in Ottawa? Yes, I did. Unfortunately. Now, I don't mean to insult the city because I find Ottawa a very, very beautiful city, it being, of course, the capital of Canada. But unfortunately, I was there in the wintertime. Now, the two memories that I have of living in Ottawa, Charlie, are skating on the Rideau Canal when it's frozen over, which it is in the winter, and going to the, oh, what is the name of that hotel? The hotel near the Parliament buildings, and I can't remember the name right now. Oh, no, no, no. But I went there for tea time. For a very unusual thing, I was in Ottawa for 3 months during the winter, and I did a story for CBC Radio about Coronation Street. And many of you probably will know that show, especially if you're in the UK. It's like the longest running soap opera. It started in 1961, December 9th, which, by the way, happens to be my birthday, not 1969, not 1961, but December 9th, because every Sunday morning, or they used to anyway, at this hotel, which I can't remember the name of, a very historical hotel in Canada, but anyway, every Sunday morning when Coronation Street would be running on CBC television, a group of fans would go to the hotel and have like really traditional English things like crumpet and stuff like that and watch Coronation Street. So I went there to do a story on it, which was absolutely fascinating because I found myself going there on Sundays after that. Yes, I admit it, I am a Coronation Street fan. And I watch it here. A friend of mine in the UK tapes the shows for me and sends it along so I can keep up. Ottawa, yes, fascinating place. I have to tell you, like I said, it's really cold in the winter and a little boring in the winter. Summer is beautiful. We now go to the southern part of the U.S. Letter here from, sorry, Johan, I can't read your handwriting. Oh, here it is. Let me pick up the original. From Houston, Texas, Ivy Dell. And she first started listening to The Happy Station in 1974 when Tom Meyer was doing the show. And she said that she found that the show came back. She was very surprised that it did. Yes, we're back. And she says, what do I have in store for the show? What do I have in store for the show? I wish I can answer that. The only thing I can say is tune in. Because there will be a lot of surprises. Now, we did get a lot of others that came in. But unfortunately, we can't get to every single one. So, Ivy, Charlie, Stanley, and Josh, your QSL cards have been sent off. And I want to remind you again, please do not send money. Ivy sent, I don't know why, but she said, here's $10 to include the postage cost. And I went, wait a minute. It doesn't cost that much, and your $10 is being returned to you. I think what she may have heard me say at one point is that for to send the QSO cards and just an ordinary letter, it's like $10, but that's Taiwan dollars, not US dollars. So Ivy, that will be sent to you. So do not send money. Do not send international reply coupons or anything like that, because it just makes it more complicated. So those who did send international reply coupons, we've used it for your letters, okay? Because if I return it to you, I don't think you can reuse it. Or maybe you can, I'm not sure. But we'd use it for those. But please don't send them. And please don't send money. Actually, I know, I thought that could be a good marketing thing. Yes, Happy Station, send us your money now. We'll send you this, we'll send you that. No, we're not going to do that. Anyway, if you want to send in your reception report via snail mail and also be entered into a draw that we will have at the end of the year, because at the end of the year, we're going to be having one big prize for one lucky listener and five other small prizes. But you have to enter to win. So send us your reception reports either by snail mail or by email. But first, our snail mail address, which is very simple, kind of. Happy Station, 8th floor, number 47, lane 31, section 1, Sanmin Road, Banqiao, Taipei, Taiwan, ROC 22070. And I'll say that a little bit slower. Happy Station, I don't need to say slow, 8th floor, number 47, lane 31, that's L-A-N-E 31, section 1, S-E-C-T-I-O-N 1, Sanmin Road, that's S-A-N like Norman, M like mother, I-N Road, Banqiao, B-A-N-C-I-A-O, Taipei, Taiwan, ROC, which stands for Republic of China, and the postal code is 22070. Now, if you didn't have time to write that down for whatever reason, you can also get the address by sending me an email, pcj.happystation@gmail.com. That's pcj.happystation@gmail.com. And all our information to get in touch with us is on the WRMI website at www.wrmi.net. Again, www.wrmi.net. And you can also listen to the live stream if the program is on air at a particular time that is difficult for you to listen. And if you want to hear the podcast of the show, you can also sign up to the Happy Station Facebook page. Just do a search for the Happy Station Show if you're already a member, and that's it. Okay, that's all you need to know. But first, here's Colin Newell with some information.
Hi, my name's Colin Newell, and I'm the editor and creator of DXR.ca. Since the mid-90s, DXR.ca has been the go-to website for timely resources for the DXR, SWL, and broadcast listener. If you're looking for unbiased reviews of the most modern receivers and antennas, or are interested in participating in some of the more lively online forums all about radio, then come on by. DXR.ca, a world band radio website.
Thank you very much, Colin. And by the way, the links for the Happy Station Show for podcasts are also available at DXR.ca. That's DXR.ca. Of course, www. So do check it out, and you'll find Happy Station there as well. All right, time for more music today at 100 UTC. I played the song If, composed by David Gates, but I played a different version sung by Telly Savalas, which was highly unusual. But we're going to take a listen to a more really good version right now by Tom Meyer himself here on the Happy Station. Left me too. Yeah. Tom Meyer and If here on La Estación de la Alegría and, of course, the Happy Station. A number of people have been asking about, again, when we will launch Shortwave to Europe. And, again, this is still in the works. And hopefully, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, as well as other parts of my body, that I will be able to announce that very, very soon. And also questions about stereo. Yes, pretty soon the podcast will be made available in stereo. You know, I thought actually what we should do is come on the show and say, by the way, you're listening to the Happy Station on shortwave and in stereo. And to listen in stereo, you need two receivers, one over here and one over there. And then, of course, that would probably confuse people more than anything. So anyway, yes, no shortwave stereo. I know they did some experiments with that a number of years ago, but I don't think it was very successful. It just sounds like a very odd concept, if you ask me. Let's have some more music right now. Here is Ray Martin and his orchestra with Jericho.
Listen to me, chillin'. It's a tale of long ago. It's about a guy called Joshua and the walls of Jericho. Thank you.
Jericho, Ray Martin and his orchestra. And the trumpet, by the way, on that recording was Al Hurt. The album is called Music Your Eyes Can Follow, which was a very unusual attempt at a very unusual form of stereo that RCA introduced in the 60s called stereo action, where you're listening to it, and if you stand in front of the speakers, you hear the trumpet going from left to right, left to right, left to right, right to left, in the middle, up and down, center, forward, backwards, everywhere you can imagine. Same with the vocals and the clapping and everything. Very unusual and a little annoying when you listen to it in stereo action, but when you listen to it in mono, the performances are quite good. Yes. Okay. Well, we actually have come to the end of this edition of the show. I want to remind you again about two upcoming shows in the month of August. The shows at 100 and 1500 UTC on August the 6th, 2009, are going to be two shows recorded in Japan at the studios of NHK. Not Radio Japan, but just their general domestic service. I'm heading to Japan to work on a project. And my friends at Radio Japan arranged me to have some studio time. So we're going to do two shows from there. And we're going to be featuring some music from Japan from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and today. Japanese, of course, singing in Japanese and singing in English, as well as musicians from Europe, the United States, Canada, singing in Japanese. So Japanese to English, English to Japanese. Kind of. Is that what I'm trying to say? Not sure. Anyway, tune into that for those two shows at 100 and 1500 UTC on August the 6th, 2009. Well, it's time that I actually leave you because my voice is starting to give out, partially to do with the air conditioning on all the time, and I'm coming down with another cold, which is nasty to get in the summertime. So once again, our email address is pcj.happystation@gmail.com. I can send you our address and everything else, as well as just check the WRMI website for the streaming, www.wrmi.net. Click on Happy Station and all our information is there. And come on, do join the Happy Station Facebook page. And if I'm online, you can even chat with me during the show. It's amazing, actually, every week the number of people that have signed up to the Facebook page has just been growing and growing and growing. It's quite good. All right, that's all we have time for. I hope that all of you in the USA right now and Canada will have a wonderful day. It's coming up to midnight local time here in Taiwan. So myself, Kevin Lee, our technician, and Johan Backer, who is our production assistant, we're going to head out, have a few drinks, have some dinner, and then I have to go home and take care of my dogs. I left my dogs at home today. Yeah. So, until next time, friends, this is Keith Perron, all the way in Taipei, Taiwan, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
This is the Happy Station, broadcasting to North and South America on 9,955 kHz from 1 to 155 UTC and from 15 to 1555 UTC.